is the Jerry Callahan Show.
All right, it is March 11th, Thursday, Masters Thursday. We're all excited here to sit and go into our Masters trance for the next 4 days. We have 207 days till November 5th, which is what Donald Trump calls the most important day in American history. I'm not sure if it's quite that big, but it is big. It is Election Day, and we get to choose between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And right now, things are looking pretty good. Donald Trump is leading in most polls. It's a little tight nationally, but he's leading in most battleground states. He's not leading by enough. If we know anything about the Democrats, is he's got to get a big lead. He's got to get a big cushion. His lead has to be too big to rig. Right now, I'm a little nervous. It's a little tight. But here's why I feel like it's futile to project and think things will be like this in 207 days. Things are going to change. There's just too much that can happen between now and November. There's too many big things that could change the course of this election, which is what happened 4 years ago. Trump was riding high. The economy was great. We had peace and prosperity. And then came the China virus. And then came the lockdowns and the school closings and the reign of terror from Dr. Fauci. And everything changed. They ushered Biden into the White House. Trump was done. And we've had nothing but disasters for the last 3.5 years. Things are going to happen in the next 6 months. I'm afraid. I was going down my list of game changers, and they're on both sides. Let's be honest. Let's run down a few of them. First of all, the most likely is that Joe Biden could fall, literally fall. Joe Biden could have another aneurysm. He could have a stroke. He could just, the dementia could get worse. And even hardcore Democrats will have to admit he's incapable of serving for 4 more years. It is impossible to imagine the man we saw shuffling around the White House lawn yesterday could do 4 more years. The man we see every day slurring and stumbling and losing his way. No honest person could say he is physically, mentally capable of serving 4 more years. But Trump's a bad man. Trump's evil. So they are going to do their best to carry him over the finish line. If you're watching along, this is one of the most humiliating videos. Joe Biden with the Japanese prime minister, walking through the White House lawn, across the White House lawn, and he needs a military escort, literally a military escort, to show him where to turn. He is struggling to walk. He is stiff. His arms aren't moving as usual. And the Japanese guy is looking at him going, what is going on here? This is what you call a real show of weakness. Look at the arms. It is hilarious, but it is also sad. So number one on the list of potential game changers is just the complete physical deterioration of the president. I would put that number one. We also have potential disasters that would affect the Biden campaign. Number one on that would be a terror attack. Joe Biden has allowed at least 10 million illegal aliens. He's allowed thousands of people on the terror watch list, thousands of Chinese nationals, people from hostile countries, from Iran and North Korea and Yemen and you name it. They've all come strolling across the southern border with bad intentions. Christopher Wray, Biden's personal FBI director, has said the potential for a terror attack is extremely high right now. It's not a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. It is when. We will be hit again. Will it be in the next 6 months? Possibly. And if that happens, and it's somebody who strolled across the border on Joe Biden's watch, again, no decent person, no honest person could vote to continue the policies of the man who intentionally opened the southern border to let in 10 million undocumented Democrats. That's on the list. There is, of course, the potential that Donald Trump goes to jail. That is an ongoing effort from the Biden DOJ and their surrogates on the local level. He's in court on Monday to face criminal charges in perhaps the most ridiculous case of election interference of them all, where Alvin Bragg is going to attempt to put him in jail for paying hush money years ago to Stormy Daniels, which the feds refused to prosecute, which Bragg's predecessor, Cy Vance, refused to prosecute. Just an absurd case where their lead witness is a known liar, Michael Cohen. It's ridiculous on its face, but it will be a New York jury, and we know how that goes. They're hoping to convict Trump, put him in jail. That's been the goal for Joe Biden and the Democrats and the media all along. It could happen. I mean, there most people will still support Trump because they know it's politically motivated, but it's always a possibility. I mean, hell, he's going to be tied up in court even if he doesn't get convicted. He's going to be tied up in court during the campaign over and over again. He won't be able to go out and, you know, meet the crowds at Chick-fil-A while he's sitting in a New York courtroom. That's the strategy. It may work. The idea that the Democrats will stop before they put him in jail is absurd. They will stop at nothing. Their goal is to imprison their political opponent. But there's one other possibility, and we saw it play out. We are seeing it play out in real time right now, and that's that they can have another George Floyd. That is one of the goals of the Democrats. They want another George Floyd. God knows it worked wonders for him last time. George Floyd, a career criminal, tried to pass a counterfeit bill, as everybody recalls, in Minneapolis. The cops tried to arrest him. He resisted, and he died of an overdose while resisting in police custody, and the rest is history. Then cities burned, businesses were looted, corporations gave millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter, a violent Marxist organization devoted to defunding the police and defeating capitalism. And that chaos led to a summer of love across the country, and it worked to benefit Joe Biden. So the media is never going to stop in their effort to find another George Floyd. Which brings us to young Dexter Reed. Dexter Reed is a 26-year-old Chicago man. He is no longer with us. He was pulled over or approached by Chicago police on March 21st. If you haven't heard this story, you got to listen, because you will not get the real story from the media. I'm going to tell you what I did last night. I literally read 12, 13 stories on this. I think I was on number 10 before I found out the truth about Dexter Reed. The media has a narrative, and they're running with it. Can you put the headlines up, Ironhead? These are your headlines from mainstream media outlets, which is all you get if you Google the story. CNN, 96 shots fired in fatal traffic stop. USA Today, seatbelt check. Cops fired 96 shots at black motorist, killing him. AP, video show Chicago police fired nearly 100 shots over 41 seconds during fatal traffic stop. Oh, don't forget the Washington Post. Dexter Reed shot, killed by Chicago police after traffic stop, which includes a picture of Dexter Reed at his high school graduation with, I believe, his sisters. Chicago Tribune, same thing. Over and over again, Dexter Reed shot 96 times by cops because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And you say, holy crap, here we go. This is Chicago. This is a young black man, and this is cops, police officers, overzealous cops. And you say, uh-oh, things are going to get nasty. The weather's getting good. People are already riled up about Palestine and climate change. They're going to go, man. It's go time. And by the way, the Chicago, the Democrat convention is in Chicago this summer, and it is going to get crazy. This might be part of it, might not, but it's going to get crazy no matter what. We are in for a just chaotic summer, and they will do anything it takes to defeat Donald Trump because he's evil, he's Hitler, and anything goes. But let's just review some facts. Let's just take a look at the case and try to fill in some of the blanks that the media, the mainstream media, the AP, USA Today, Chicago Tribune, kind of left out or buried. I'm not lying when I tell you I was on about my 10th story before I learned Dexter Reed fired 11 shots. Now, you could say 96 shots from six officers was excessive. One officer fired 50 rounds. You could question whether that was excessive. You know what I think is excessive? A guy who was pulled over or stopped, approached because he ostensibly wasn't wearing a seatbelt, he fired 11 shots. Here's another inconvenient fact. He hit one cop. He shot a cop. And thank God for body cams is all I'm going to say. Because if we didn't have this on video, hell, they lie about it when we have the video. If we didn't have this video, we would have another innocent young black man taken out, taken down in the prime of his life by racist cops in Chicago. That would be the narrative, guaranteed. But we do have video. We get to see the cops approach Dexter Reed and ask him to step out of the car. All right, we've gone over this many, many times, but there's a lesson here. It's not a lesson that anybody in the media or any of the race hustlers in Chicago or anyone in the ACLU wants to impart on young people, drivers, young black drivers. Why don't you cooperate? If you think this is an unfair stop, why don't you cooperate? Maybe they'll write you a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt. Then you can go to court. You could fight the ticket, or you could go to the media, or you could go to the ACLU people or the race hustlers, or you could go to the mayor, Brandon Johnson, and saying this was unfair. I'm not where I was targeted because I'm black. And then they could run with that narrative. Instead, Dexter Reed chooses to shoot the cops right there. And then doesn't this story kind of come to a screeching halt? You shoot at cops, you hit one. What does it matter how many rounds they shot in retaliation? You shot a cop. That's bad. This is all the fault of Dexter Reed. 100% the fault of Dexter Reed. Nobody can make the case that this wasn't a justifiable shooting. You want to talk about too many rounds? I mean, I'm not sure why that matters, but you can discuss that. You can't question why they shot. I mean, if you do, you are revealing yourself to be a clown and a race hustler and an agitator who just wants trouble. That's all. You just want trouble. The five or six officers from the tactical unit asked him to step out of the car. He rolled his window, tinted window, up when they approached the car, and he refused. And then, you know what he did? Through the partially open window, started firing. The cops in the video, some of them are literally running away. Some of them who come from different angles fire back. They hit him. They shoot him. He ends up leaving, coming out of the car. They continue to shooting because he's out of the car and they think the threat is still there. They kill him right there on the street. They find a gun in the car, which he used to shoot them. Why are we even talking about this? If we are going to talk about it, why don't we say It's his fault, kids. Don't do this. Let's watch the video, and then we'll get to some of the reaction and some of the lies you're being told from people who are hoping, just praying, that this ignites civil unrest in the streets. You know, another summer of love. Go ahead. Let's watch this video. He's got an SUV, white SUV, which he just bought, according to his mother, 3 days ago. Has a big dent in the side, by the way, for a guy who just bought it 3 days ago. But let's watch how the cops react when young Dexter, you know, a high school hoop star and high school graduate, young Dexter starts firing. Go ahead.
Unlock the doors now. Open the door now. Open the door now. Open the door now. Oh, 6 foot damage. Shots fired. Shots fired. Hey! Hey! Shots fired. Fernandez Avers. Fernandez Avers. 10-1. 10-1.
Shots fired.
If you're not watching, literally runs away, maybe 50 feet, gets behind a tree. Other cops are scrambling in other directions, some getting more strategic positions and fire back. And they hit him. And he gets out of the car and they keep shooting because they don't know if he still has the gun in his hand. And they kill him. That is the definition of a justified shooting. Doesn't matter. He's black. By the way, the cop he shot and hit is also black. Doesn't matter. These are cops. This is Chicago. The people who run Chicago, including the mayor, the people in the ACLU, the activists, see a chance to take advantage of the situation and blame the cops and use this. The cops have been placed on administrative leave. Ugh. And they're vowing a thorough, independent investigation. It's not enough. That's not enough. We need to know why they fired so many rounds. Well, maybe they thought the threat wasn't neutralized. Maybe when he got out of the car, they thought he was going to continue to shoot them and hit other cops, not just one cop. It's amazing that we're even talking about this.
Exactly, because they're talking about excessive shooting. If you're in that spot, you're getting 11 rounds shot at you. What? You're making sure you get home to your family no matter what.
What's the definition of excessive? What's the definition? Oh, they went too far. They killed him. They were taught to fire back when they're fired on. That's why you got a gun. And they took him out. Doesn't matter.
Well, Biden always said, why don't you shoot the gun out of their hands or something like that? Remember?
Joe Biden's answer. And he actually said this. You can find this. Why don't they shoot him in the leg?
That was it, yeah.
Why don't they shoot him in the leg? Oh, good plan. Why? He shot a cop. Why are we talking about this? Doesn't matter. The media dives in. We got over some of the headlines. CNN. Oh, by the way, I want you to play that CNN, that quick CNN clip with the mother. A actual CNN reporter is there. And you want to talk about gaslighting. Just lying to you. They want you to think they're just working their hardest to turn this into another poor young black guy cut down by the evil racist cops. They're trying, man. I'm not sure they're going to get away with it, but they are going to try. Play this clip from CNN. It's just a little brief one with mom, and then we'll get to mom's reaction at the press conference. Go ahead.
Just bought his new car 3 days before that, and he was just riding around in his car. He said, "Mom, go for a ride," and they killed him.
They just killed him.
Look at the scum she's surrounded by, a bunch of little pretend, you know, Ben Crumps, wannabe Ben Crumps, hoping that they can cash in on this, hoping they could use this. They just killed him again. Thank God for dash cam video, or they would. I mean, they're already lying to us, even though we saw it. They don't care. The AP, the once respected AP, CNN, Chicago Tribune, They don't care. These are activists. These are agitators. They want this so badly. They know if they can, they can start another race war, it works to their advantage. They know it. They see it. They say, this can help our side. Let's go. As this CNN's, yep. Listen to the introduction this clown at CNN gives, gives the mom and the sister. Go ahead, play this.
It's a pain that manifests in memories and pain that manifests in despair.
They took my son away from me. He ain't got that no more. I don't know what I'm going to do without him.
I understand losing your kid is tough like that, but like this does not seem authentic.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why we're going through this. There's one thing that every BLM martyr, every Ben Crump client has in common. Everyone that the mainstream media tries to turn into innocent victims of police brutality, of racist police in this country, they all have one thing in common. They didn't comply. They didn't cooperate. I know we went over this in New York when Jonathan Diller, Officer Diller, was murdered by a career criminal with a gun. You know, people said, why did they pull him over? Why did they ask him to get out of the car? They were just parked in a bus stop. Who cares? If he was pulled over or approached because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, and by the way, you can see in the video, also parked in a crosswalk. If you want to say, why did they do that? Why did they ask him, you know, to get out of the car? You know, my answer is, who cares? He wasn't wearing a seatbelt. He was parked at a crosswalk. You want to die over that? That's the question. You were asked to get out of the car or roll down the window and hand over your license because you're not wearing a seatbelt? You do it. You fight it later. How are they not asking that question? The answer to that is never. Let's shoot. George Floyd shouldn't have been resisting. Breonna Taylor's boyfriend shouldn't have been firing at the cops. Everyone, Mike Brown, big Mike Brown, you know, hands up, don't shoot, shouldn't have been trying to take Darren Wilson's gun and kill him. These are the martyrs. They're criminals who broke the law and refused to comply, refused to cooperate. This should be the lesson for every young person. Black, white, whatever. Comply, cooperate, don't resist, don't fight, and please don't fire 11 shots at the cops. That is bad advice, but you'd never hear it. Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, he didn't say that. Ben Crump didn't say that. The clown at CNN, his name is Omar Jimenez, who did that tear-jerking piece on mom. He doesn't say, gee, Dexter Reed probably should have cooperated. He would be alive today. This mother wouldn't be fainting on live TV and crying if her son just said, what do you need, officer? Here's my license. Here's my registration. You're going to give me a ticket? You know why he went down shooting? Because he had an illegal loaded gun in the car. And for some reason, he thought that was the way to go out. Maybe it was... suicide by cop. Here's another fact that's not mentioned in any of the stories. Well, I shouldn't say any because it was in the Chicago Sun-Times, but any of the first 10 stories I read. Dexter Reed has a illegal gun charge pending. He was busted for an illegal gun and he was awaiting a court date while driving around with an illegal gun. He also was busted for shoplifting. You know what he did? He put on a $950 shirt at Saks Fifth Avenue. Now, I don't know what that looks like, a $950 shirt. But he walked out of the store with a $950 shirt. Got busted for that. Does that mean he deserves to die? No. But they kind of leave that out of the story. I don't know. He also was... when he was the original gun charge, he went to a music festival with a loaded handgun, illegal gun. You know, all this gun violence has to stop because, you know, they have all these gun laws and people like Dexter Reed continue to violate them. And how's it end up? He's dead after he shot at a cop. And the cops, I can't imagine how tough this job is. They know this is a gun guy. They know it. I'm going to guess that there was more to this them approaching the car than a seatbelt. I mean, I'm going to guess he was known to them. He's a known gun guy. He had a loaded gun in his car, and they had reason to stop him, to pull him over, to approach him. Let's just go over quick a couple of the numbers in Chicago before we move on. Here's life in Chicago if you're a cop or if you're just a citizen. So far this year, 116 people slain, shot dead in Chicago. It's April 11th. I'm sorry, this is not up to date. This is the first 3 months, January, February, March. In March, 46 people shot dead. In March in Chicago, a 28% increase over last year. The second deadliest month in a decade. 190 people were shot, 46 killed in 1 month over Easter weekend. I'm sorry, over Trans Visibility weekend. 7 people shot and killed on the weekend. In the first 3 months of this year, 476 people shot in Chicago. In 3 months, the cops seized 1,181 illegal firearms. That is 38 a day. They take away 38 illegal guns per day. And by the way, you know the 116 dead so far this year, 476 shot, almost all of them young black men. Where's Ayanna Pressley? Where's Cori Bush? Where's AOC? Where's all the people who will be screaming about this probably today or would scream about any of the BLM martyrs? Where are they? When, hell, where are the authorities busting the parents like they busted Ethan Crumley, the school shooter whose parents just got sent to prison for 10 to 15 years for being bad parents? Where are the parents of the people who are killing, who are shooting 476 people, young black men, in 3 months? You're a cop in Chicago and you have to deal with this. I can't imagine the fear, the nervousness you have approaching a car like Dexter Reed's. And before we move on, I'm guessing Ben Crump is already on the ground. I didn't see him in that video. But here's the real reason you're going to hear the media screaming about, and the mayor and all the ACLU types and the aldermen who are going to say, oh, the cops went too far. We know George Floyd OD'd. That's been established. He was resisting arrest. He OD'd in police custody. He died. The city of Minneapolis paid George Floyd's family, which he never saw. He had a kid who lived in that city, hadn't seen him in 30 years, $27 million. Breonna Taylor, whose boyfriend shot a cop, they shot back and they tragically killed her. The family received $12 million. Dante Wright, who resisted arrest, tried to take off and was accidentally shot by Kim Porter, who thought she was tasing him. Bad mistake. His family got $3.25 million from Brooklyn Center, Minneapolis. They're going to do this performance and they're going to hope there's going to be a big payday. And if there is, it will be a great injustice, because I'm not sure what your definition would be of a justified shooting, but that's mine right there. That's mine. And I'm still waiting for one of these community leaders to say, here's a lesson, everybody. Don't resist. Don't fight. Comply. Why is that so hard? Why? I'll never understand. But we're waiting. The weather, I don't know what the weather is in Chicago, but maybe this weekend, maybe we have protests, you know, for Dexter, justice for Dexter. And just watch, do what I did. Watch the coverage, read some stories, and tell me that Donald Trump wasn't right, that the media, the mainstream media, is the enemy of the people. They're stoking the fires here, literally hoping for riots, hoping that people don't learn all the details, all those pesky details about Dexter Reed shooting a cop. They're just hoping for more mayhem. It's what they do. All right, we're going to move on. Big day yesterday in the campaign. We have Biden versus Trump yesterday, and it was hilarious. Biden at an official event with the Japanese prime minister and Trump at a Chick-fil-A. That's all you need to know. And we'll give you our Masters picks. You ready with that, Iron Edge? You get your picks? Good. The Masters has been delayed by rain, which is good. We're not going to miss any of it. It's going to be great. Can't wait. But first.
Excuse me.
We all know the stock market has seen unprecedented fluctuation over the past 3 years, and I'm just going to guess that's going to continue for at least another year. Well, silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to preserve wealth and hedge against economic instability. The silver to gold ratio is at record levels. Gold is currently at an all-time high, whereas silver is below 50% of its all-time high. A ratio like this is unheard of and provides a great time to add silver to your collection. Well, CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in numismatics. Explore CSN Mint's extensive catalog of bullion bars, coins, and numismatic collectibles. Whether you're a seasoned investor or a passionate collector, you'll find a diverse range of products to suit your needs and preferences. Rest assured that every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your collection with confidence. If you're going to collect something, it might as well be money. So go to csnmint.com/Jerry and use promo code Jerry at checkout to get a free silver American Eagle over a $30 value with your purchase of $75 or more. Yesterday was a great day for the Trump campaign. He made an appearance in Georgia. Here's what he has to do. He has to go to a fast food restaurant every day for the next 6 months. I'm sure he's fine with that. He loves fast food. He loves Chick-fil-A. He loves McDonald's. He loves burgers and fries. We know that about him. But he made an appearance in Atlanta, in Georgia, and then decided, let's stop at Chick-fil-A and say hi to the folks. While you watch this or listen to this, ask yourself, could Joe Biden ever do this? They've tried a couple times to make Joe Biden relatable and show him with regular people. We remember when he went with a black family and had fried chicken and talked about basketball. It was the cringiest thing you've ever seen. And recently, he met with an Italian family and had pizza and talked about how he's always been Italian and his wife's Italian. It was just embarrassing. He is, as I've said many times, he's bad at every aspect of the job. Being president, Joe Biden is the worst ever. He can't do it. He's really bad, particularly bad at the easy parts, like going to Chick-fil-A or having a pizza with some people. He can't do it. He's incapable of small talk. He doesn't relate to people. They don't like him. His rallies are pathetic if he ever even has a rally. Trump loves this. Trump's really good at this. This is his strength. By the way, before he did this, he stopped on the tarmac and talked to the media and took all questions from everybody. Just questions about, you name it, about the border, about criminal cases, whatever you want to ask. Another thing Joe Biden is literally incapable of. We'll get to that, but let's watch Trump and tell me what stands out at this appearance at this Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is him ordering 30 milkshakes.
Oh, 30 milkshakes for everybody. Wouldn't you love to be there?
Yeah.
The president buys you a milkshake.
Yeah.
Doesn't that leave an impression? You say, that is cool. I had a milkshake with the president. But go ahead, play it.
I have 30 milkshakes and also some chicken. I'm going to take care of the customers. Business good? Making a lot of money? Everyone getting rich, right? Thanks very much. Look at the way you're home. You like each other, right?
just small talk. Means nothing. But they're all laughing and having a great time. That just shows that highlights the difference. That is something Joe Biden literally can't do. Is this the woman who comes up to him? This woman needs to join him.
Yes.
On the campaign trail. This can't be her only appearance because this was so good. This, if you ever watch MSNBC or CNN, you can't go 5 minutes without some guest, some clown like, you know, Michael Beschloss or Joy Reid or George Conway telling you how racist Donald Trump is. Oh, he's a racist. They don't ever have any evidence. It's absurd. Nobody ever called Trump a racist until he was a threat to them, till he ran for president. But watch this one woman approach Trump and say, screw the media. Go ahead.
So I don't care what the media tells you, Mr. Trump. We support you.
We support you, Mike.
Okay, 4 p.m. We've been 4 p.m.
Come here, let me give you a...
Let me give you a hug right there. I don't care. Not only was she great, said, I love you, and hugged him. She said, I don't care what the media says. I think maybe I'm just reacting, you know, here in the moment. But it feels like Trump has locked up Georgia. Georgia, which he lost last time. Georgia, which is now considered a purple state. I don't know. I feel like it's back in the red column. I don't think he's going to lose Georgia. Forget Georgia, Joe Biden. At the same time, Trump was just winging it with the people, which again, he's good at it, but lots of people could do this. You know, Ron DeSantis could do this. He's a little stiff. Vivek could do this. Robert Kennedy Jr. could do this. It's not unique. It's not that hard. But the guy in the White House, the 81-year-old corpse who's running for re-election, can't do this. Incapable. Here's Joe Biden yesterday. Do we have him at the podium? He's got he's up there with the Japanese prime minister. He's at one podium, the guy's at the other. And this is traditional. We know that many traditions in the White House have gone out the window under Joe Biden because he can't do most of them. But this is something you're supposed to do. You have this event with the, you know, with your ally from Japan, then you have a state dinner where you have all kinds of, you know, luminaries, the Clintons, the Bezos show up. But here he is, by the way, with his big aviator glasses on, which he thinks makes him cool at this formal event. And the funniest thing is people took pictures, of course, and in the picture, you could see the reflection of his notes in his glasses. And on the notes are the directions on who he's supposed to call on, you know, handpicked, quote unquote, reporters, you know, just handmaidens in the media who are given the questions in advance. And I mean, again, these are friendly media people. These are supporters. These are AP and Reuters and New York Times people who are there to make him look good. That's their goal. And he can't just look at them and point at them. He needs notes at this event. Notes with names of people he's supposed to call on. People picked by his communication staff, which is bad enough. He can't even do that.
It backs up Sage Steele's point the other day about having everything drawn out for.
And by the way, Sage Steele, that was 2021. When Sage Steele did the interview that had to be scripted, all the questions, all the answers in advance, that was 3 years ago. Opening day baseball, 3 years ago. This is now a guy in the throes of dementia who is supposed to be projecting strength with our ally. And it was anything but. I mean, the Japanese guy must have been looking over going, holy crap, we're in trouble. We got China with their guns trained on us, and this vegetable is the one making the decisions. It must be scary for our allies. But watch this clown show.
Third, for the next question, who do I call on next? Hang on a sec. I got my list here. Hang on. I apologize. Aurelia of AFP.
Listen to that. He can't even look down and get the names right. And by the way, he was slurring like usual. And it was embarrassing. He was just bumbling and stumbling through the whole press event. And then, of course, the media shuffled out of the room after they did their job to ask the questions they were told to ask. This is embarrassing at every level. I can't believe people think he can do that for 4.5 more years. Do we have any of his answers?
I can grab some.
I mean, just embarrassing. So many levels, just humiliating. Good day for Trump. He should do this every day. First of all, go to the border. Donald, go to the border. Go to Arizona, another purple state. Go to Arizona. Go right to the border. And when you're done making a speech at the border, go to Chick-fil-A. Go to McDonald's. Go to Taco Bell. Go wherever. Meet the people. The people like him. You're good at this. Joe Biden can't do it. It's just a great contrast. All right, before we get to our Masters picks, I got some other odds I want to do. I got, let me take a break. Then we're going to do the odds. We make our Masters picks. And we have this other tote board here. Trump's VP, it's coming. And it may be coming soon. I'll give you one theory that Dana Perino floated. And she generally knows her stuff. She's got connections. She thinks Trump may make the pick sooner rather than later. I'm hoping he does. And I'm going to tell you who he should pick. Probably won't, but who he should pick. We'll get to that, but first. Is it too late for a New Year's resolution? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. 2024 is the year you will stop your hair from premature thinning, and you'll achieve your goal quickly and for years to come. The new Provia Hair Thinning Therapy from Chamonix is here, and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. The Provia secret is a powerful natural ingredient called Procapil that effectively targets the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. Effective for men and women of any age and safe for colored, treated, and styled hair, it's that easy. And new customers save over 50% plus shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Callahan. Every package includes a 60-day supply of Provia serum plus Provia super concentrate for faster and more noticeable results. You get Provia's Perfect Beard Treatment or Provia Eyelash Enhancing Serum as your exclusive free gift at checkout. Don't wait. Your full, thick hair starts today. Provia works or you get 100% of your money back. Order now and save an extra 10% at proviahair.com/Callahan. That's proviahair.com/Callahan. Oh, man, we got breaking news. Ironhead, breaking news. Why do bad things happen to good people? Can you answer me that existential question? Orenthal James Simpson will not be coming down for breakfast. O.J. Simpson dies of cancer.
No kidding.
At the age of 76, which ruins my theory that the really bad people, I mean the people with no conscience, with no soul, live forever. See, George Soros and Anthony Fauci and Billy Bulger and people like that tend to hang on because they're never burdened with consciousness, with a conscience. You know, they don't have that in them. So they live happily ever after and they don't care that they've lived a life of evil. Well, O.J. Simpson, who murdered his ex-wife and her friend, Ron Goldman, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, who got away with it, who never paid his bill, his debt to the Goldmans. One of the true evil monsters living among us. And by the way, I should have seen this coming because he hasn't been tweeting lately.
Right.
If you follow him on Twitter, he puts out these videos, or he did, from the golf course. He must have been sick for a while. He's no longer with us. And I'm not sure how the media is going to handle this. I'm looking up. Fox News has Jim Gray on there. It's probably his friend. They'll have people who will say, you know, he had his moments. Yeah. I met O.J. Simpson one time. I was with Will McDonough in Buffalo, and he was working the room like you wouldn't believe at a restaurant. Everybody loved him. And he was like the guy in the movies, the guy on Hertz commercials. He was just glad-handing everybody. This was before he committed double murder. This is before we knew what kind of monster he was. This was before he beat up his wife and laughed about it on the phone. But he is no longer with us, and I'm not sure how people are going to spin this and pretend he's anything but a... here it is breaking just now. LA Times, 13 minutes ago. Are they going to put this behind a paywall? Doesn't look like it. LA Times writes, O.J. Simpson, whose rise and fall from American football hero to accused murderer to prison inmate fueled a rancorous public drama that obsessed the nation and spawned debates over race, wealth, justice, and retribution. It's a hell of a lead. Has died from cancer, according to a family member on X. So it was announced on X. Simpson was once the country's most admired athlete. Not sure about that.
He's up there.
Running back who broke records, he became a crossover star, lending his handsome face and affable personality to slapstick movies like Naked Gun and classic television commercials like for Hertz. He ended his run, as an inmate at Lovelock Corrections Center in north of Reno, where he served a term of 9 to 33 years for armed robbery. Don't forget, he got busted for stealing his own stuff in Vegas. Kidnapping and conspiracy. His incarceration was widely viewed as long overdue punishment for the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman, which was true, and it was fine, and I was okay with it. He went to prison, spent all his money on cookies, and got fat. There he is in one of his Naked Gun movies. But, man, talk about a guy that did indeed captivate the nation, at least for one night. I mean, the trial did, too. The trial where the dumbest jury in the world acquitted him because they didn't know what DNA was, acquitted him when everybody knew. Everyone knew he did it. And then he wrote a book entitled Why I Did It. One of the great travesties of justice. But I guess, you know, he's paying the price now. Hopefully he suffered for a good long while, because that's what O.J. Simpson deserved. But that'll be an interesting funeral. Interesting reaction from the media. It's the big story right now. All the media outlets are searching for, you know, friends, former friends, connections to talk to. You know, Fred Goldman should stand before the cameras and smile and say, I hope it was painful. That's what Fred Goldman should do, because that's appropriate at this point. This guy murdered his son. He was ordered to pay $33 million. I'm guessing he paid next to nothing and just lived out his life paying the finest golf courses in Las Vegas and going to bars and parties and enjoying his life. Sickening. Truly one of the great travesties of justice in American history. And there'll be people who say, you know, he was acquitted. I'm not sure if he did it. Yes, you are. Anyone who tells you today they're not sure is lying. Everybody is sure. Everybody knows he did it and he got away with it. And it is not a sad day in America. All right, Ironhead. Before we go, you're going to be in a master's trance just like I am today.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing better than seeing the Augusta Greens on television and the azaleas. I love it.
People always say to me every year, it's golf. Who cares? It's not golf. All right. It's not golf. It's the Masters. It's different. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love all the big events. I love golf on TV, but nothing. No one does a better job of presenting their event, their sport on television like the Masters. They limit the commercials. It's 4 minutes an hour. They have cameras these days. They didn't used to, but these days on every hole, they have the greatest app. It shows you select groups in high definition. And it's it's one of those events where the pressure's on everybody. The favorites, you know, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Scotty Scheffler. There it is, the app. Look how crystal clear that is. I mean, it is just celestial. And we get to see, you get to look in the eyes of the best golfers in the world as they face, they perform under the greatest pressure they ever face. It is riveting. It really is. I feel bad for people who don't have the bug, but you're not allowed to pick Scheffler, McIlroy, or Rahm. You can't pick them. That's my rule. You get to pick anyone else.
How can you not pick McIlroy? He like can't play there at all.
You know what's a funny thing is I think this all the time. When he plays, particularly at the Masters, I root for him. I don't root for anybody who has $1 billion, who has four majors, who's the favorite, you know, who's won many, many times, won Ryder Cups, who's won majors, mm-hmm. all the majors except this one. And yet, he's very likable. He's great to watch. He bombs in a mile. Seems to have a great personality. If he's in the hunt on Sunday, I'll root for him. I'll root for him against someone who's never won anything. It's a weird dynamic. I don't do that in any other sport. Mm-hmm. This event is going to be the greatest event on TV since Caitlin Clark's last game. That's what it is. It's going to put up big numbers, not as big as Caitlin Clark. By the way, the Indiana Fever, they're going to be on national TV 36 times in 40 games next year. They were on national TV once last year. I never even heard of them. I didn't even know there was a team in Indiana. I'll be watching WNBA games on ESPN next year just to watch Caitlin Clark at the next level. And I'll be rooting for her, but I'll be rooting for Rory if he's in the hunt. My pick, you got to pick someone a little bit of a long shot, all right? Ludvig Åberg, first-time Masters player, young guy with all the tools, just a stud, big and tall and handsome with all the shots. You got to pick an underdog here, you know?
I'm going to go with a long shot. It's going to be an Asian fella by the name of Tiger Woods.
You know what?
Who's going to win this?
I gave you the rules, and you're following the rules. You are following the rules because that is a long shot. I hate to break it to you. I hate to break it to everybody, but he is not going to make the cut, unfortunately.
He'll be front page of the leaderboard by the end of the day tomorrow.
You know what? That'll be awesome. Absolutely awesome, but it ain't going to happen. A good bet is, will Tiger beat Phil? And I don't think so either. I think Phil has been playing. Phil loves Augusta. Phil was in the hunt somehow last year,
yeah,
which was amazing. But I don't think that's happening. Yeah. I don't think. Let me find the odds on
Phil's teeing off just after noon and Tiger's teeing off just before 4. So we're going to get to see a lot of them today. It's going to be nice.
All right, I'm still looking for Tiger.
For his odds to win?
Phil is plus 10,000. Tiger is...
He was plus...
Same. They're both, according to this betting site, Tiger is also plus 10,000.
Okay.
Scheffler's the favorite, plus 400. By the way, what is David Porter, El Presidente, doing? He's boasting about a big bet, and he makes big bets. He's betting on Scheffler? You can't bet on the favorite, the heavy favorite.
But he put 300 grand on it. That's a lot of money.
Not for him, but I mean, you can't bet on the heavy favorite, by the way. And he might win, but you can't pick him. All right, Ludvig Åberg is plus 2,500. My other two picks, I'm going to give you three. Mm-hmm. Wyndham Clark and Cam Young. Those are my three. You get to pick three, Ironhead. Well, it'll be you against me.
I'm going to go with a broader brush here, and I'm going to say a live guy wins.
You can't pick Rahm. He won last year.
Oh, it's going to be maybe Koepka. Maybe he finally does it.
Koepka, that's a good pick. He was in the par three. Looked pretty happy, pretty comfortable.
I kind of like Spieth too.
No chance.
He's playing better. I feel like he's just that. He's one Masters tournament away from being back, you know?
Yeah, I like him too. He's a good personality, but Nah, not going to win. But all right, we will see. So who's your three? Tiger?
Tiger, Koepka, and Spieth.
Everyone loves Victor Hovland, which is a good pick. He's a great player, but...
Well, he crapped his pants in, under pressure last year. Was it last year?
Got a hole in one yesterday. Didn't win. Ricky Fowler won the par three, which means Ricky can't win. Not that he was going to win, but the par three winner has never won.
I'm surprised he got invited, actually.
It's very unusual. And two of my three are first-time players. Oberg and Clark are first-time players, but... Probably none of them will be in the hunt, but it'll still be great to watch. It'll still be fun to watch. And, they're delayed, so we'll get to watch it all today in the rain. Mm. And we get to listen to the announcers say 1,000 times how soft the greens are because it rained.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just over and over again. Now, why do they think they have to constantly talk about the weather? Just over and okay, you got it. We got it. It rained.
The COVID year.
It's windy.
The COVID year when Dustin Johnson won, that's all they talked about for 4 days straight because it was
That was in the fall. Yeah. And and people want to see that an asterisk next to that one because it was in the fall.
Still won.
I don't really understand. That's when they played it. He won it. There's another live guy who could be in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
The par three also. But we'll do the VP picks tomorrow. And Trump's probably not going to do it today. We'll give you the odds on that tomorrow. We'll get that all wrong, just like we'll probably get these Masters picks wrong. But we will leave it there for today. Thank you, Ironhead. Thanks to everyone for listening. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
But I'm going to go to bed.